What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. And you guys, during the month of March, what we want to do is we want to highlight some of our favorite pastors from around the world and really just have them speak into, as we're entering into the Easter season, that Jesus is alive, that the grave is empty at the end of the day. And we want to instill within you guys hope and faith and just excitement stirring up within us toward Easter. So joining us today is an incredible guest. He's very well known. His name is Pastor Mark Batterson. He's the lead pastor at National Community Church in Washington, D.C. Many of you guys know him as a best-selling author. He has, countless number of books, and those are bestsellers, New York Times bestsellers that are a lot of our favorites stacked on our bookshelves, especially here at AACC that I can think of. And you guys, he just comes and he really dives into his book, The Grave Robber, today. And the subtitle of that book is How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. He's talking all about how Jesus can do the miraculous. Garrett, what you think of the interview today?
This one's personal for me. Yeah. Like I talk about it in the interview, but I remember just reading some of Mark's resources as a, new early believer, figuring out my faith and really having instilled within me this idea of bold prayers and bold faith. And, I'm excited for our listeners. I know that some people who are tuning in are asking God for big things. Yeah. They need a miracle, whether it's healing, whether it's financial, maybe it's relational. I know that we serve a God who wants to do the miraculous in and through you. And what I am excited to, dive into more with Mark is Jesus is the source of our miracles, and we need to pursue him. And so for our listeners, I'm excited for you. And just as you're listening, remember, chase Jesus.
That's right.
And as you're following him long and far, you're going to see some miracles. So let's go now to our interview with Pastor Mark Batterson. Joining us today, man, I am excited. The Built Different podcast, it's the one and only Pastor Mark Batterson.
Let's go.
Pastor Mark, you're the pastor of National Community Church, hailing from Washington, D.C. National Community Church has its hands in just about everything.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Own and operate Ebenezer's Coffee House, the Miracle Theater, the D.C. Dream Center, and Capital Turnaround. They're gatherings for the community. You guys are doing incredible kingdom impact. You're also the author of 23 books, New York Times bestselling author of The Circle Maker, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, Wild Goose Chase, Double Blessing, Whisper, and most recently, Win the Day, Do It for a Day. You're married to Laura. You have kids. You guys live on Capitol Hill. It is so awesome to have you. Pastor Mark, welcome.
Yes.
Hey, thank you so much. You missed our dog, though. We have a dog, too.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
And a dog. It's not going to like
it. Pastors need dogs for mental health.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's awesome. What's your dog's name?
Nella.
Nella.
She's a 13-pound cockapoo who doesn't just wag her tail, wags her body. But now this is turning into a different podcast. So I'll let you get us back on track.
That's right. Awesome. Pastor Mark, you also have a new book coming out.
Yes.
Please, Sorry, Thanks. It's releasing April the 4th. Come on, tell us about it.
Yeah. It looks a little something like this, Please, Sorry, Thanks. And here's the, if we were on an elevator, guys, to like the third floor, and I had to give you the real quick lowdown, you only have to be good at three things.
Hmm.
If you're good at please, sorry, and thanks, you're good to go. Hmm. Your marriage, your friendships, your workplace, your relationship with God, if you're good at please, sorry, and thanks, you're going to be just fine. Nothing opens doors like please. Nothing mends fences like sorry. And, there's nothing like a genuine thanks. It's the flywheel of gratitude. And so it's really a book about those three magic words that most of our parents impressed on us.
Yeah.
But they have to be more than words. They have to become a lifestyle. So Please, Sorry, Thanks. Comes out April 4th, and excited, just in time for Easter.
That's awesome.
That's a big plug for Pastor Mark. I challenge all of our listeners to go and look for the release of that book. Again, April 4th, Please, Sorry, Thanks. Big shout out to Dr. Tim and Mama Julie for impressing those words and that lifestyle upon me. I'm so thankful for them. That's right. Give a shout out to my parents for a second. But as G was saying to you, Pastor Mark, you have such an impact. You have like your fingertips in so many different things, so many different areas. As I just prayed over us before we dove into the podcast, a friend of mine just reached out to me. His name's Andrew Yasek. He's a good friend of mine. We play college baseball together at Liberty, and he is so thankful just for the influence and how welcoming and warm you are just as a person. And I know you have so much going on, but I wanted to thank you for taking the time for people like us, right, to just be on the podcast and join us for a conversation. As you mentioned, you've written so many incredible books, but one that we want to highlight here over the next couple of moments, as we're entering into the Easter season, a time marked by the miraculous, is your book titled The Grave Robber: How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. In this book, you take a look at the seven miracles recorded in John and how they apply to us today and can impact our lives as we continue to follow Jesus. I love the book. I love the wisdom that comes with it. But Pastor Mark, a follow-up question I just kind of want to ask you here. Has there been a testimony or even a story as of recent where God has done the impossible in your life or in the life of someone you know that's maybe encouraged you in your faith walk?
Yeah. July 2nd, 2016. I pray a bold prayer. I had asthma for 40 years. It's my earliest memory, was an asthma attack. Went to the emergency room, shot of epinephrine. 40 years, there weren't 40 days that I didn't have to take multiple puffs of a rescue inhaler.
Wow.
I haven't touched an inhaler since July 2nd, 2016.
Wow.
God healed my lungs. It's still unbelievable to me. Like, I slept with an inhaler under my pillow. I played basketball with an inhaler in my sock. It was my reality for 40 years. And so I'm just going to say a couple of things about miracles just to sort of set the stage for us. Everyone wants a miracle. No one wants to be in a situation that necessitates one.
Right.
But you can't have one without the other. So just recognize that sometimes it's the pain and suffering that can set the stage for the miraculous. And then the other thing I would say is that when you experience a miracle, the way you steward that miracle is you believe God for bigger and better miracles. And so, I am a guy that believes that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same God who did miracles, walking the earth, in the form of Jesus 2000 years ago, he's still doing miracles. And so excited to talk a little bit, about the grave robber. And that's kind of what I call him, because that's what he did, right? He robbed the grave. So I thought, why don't we just title the book Who He Is?
Amen. You know, you look around. The news, the world, the culture, the people, it doesn't matter maybe your set of beliefs. Everyone is hurting and struggling and in need of miraculous intervention. You know, Pastor Mark, especially even in the Christian space, as followers of Christ, you know, a lot of people, you know, they chase the miracle. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this miracle. I want it now. God deliver. But you, at the very beginning, the onset of the book, you give a word of caution. And you say, don't seek miracles, seek Jesus. And if you follow Jesus long enough and far enough, you'll eventually find yourself right in the middle of some miracles. Why do you think people chase the miracle, but really they shy away or get discouraged when it comes to actually chasing the miracle worker?
Yeah, I think we like the bells and whistles. We want quick solutions. We live in a speed of light generation. Things happen at the speed of light. When the reality is, in the Gospels, It's the speed of a seed planted in the ground that has to take root before it can bear fruit. So our timelines get a little bit off. And then here's what we do. At least I'll speak personally. I try to manipulate situations, or I try to manufacture the miracle. I try to do God's job for him.
Yeah.
And I've discovered I'm not very good at that. So I've tried to manufacture a few miracles. In my experience, what happens is what happened to Moses, that he tried to expedite God's plan by taking matters into his own hands, but it's probably going to cost you about 40 years on the backside of the desert tending sheep.
That's right.
If you try to manufacture the miracles. So you have to trust God's timing. And at the end of the day, most of this is past our pay grade. So, my mind starts going in different directions. Is it okay if I just say what comes to mind?
Please.
To the infinite, all finites are equal. We have degrees of difficulty. Things are possible or impossible, easy or difficult. The reality is God exists outside of the four dimensions of space-time that he created.
Yeah.
And he's not going to fit in the logical constraints of our left brain. So maybe we should stop creating God in our image and allow him to recreate us in his image. And so part of why it's so hard for us to believe for miracles is because we're stuck in four dimensions of space-time. When the truth is, there's a God who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And so the question then becomes, is God bigger than your biggest problem? Is he bigger than your biggest mistake? Is he bigger than your biggest dream? I mean, come on. If God is God, then let's believe him to do things that are beyond our human ability. In fact, believe him to do things beyond what we can ask or imagine. So really the book is kind of an invitation into stretch my faith and help me understand that God is bigger than the situation I find myself in. And so I think that's a good starting point.
You know, Pastor Mark, as we're talking about, I think oftentimes when life seems difficult and it almost seems as if God is silent, we equate that with like the absence of God in our lives. We think, oh, he must not be present. He must have forgotten about me. And I think, like we said, you said we like the bells and whistles at the end of the day. We like the sensations. We like the excitement of life. But unfortunately, we miss the fact that often miracles are in the quiet, small moments of life. You're quoted in the book saying one of the truest tests of spiritual maturity is seeing the miraculous in the monotonous. Albert Einstein once said there are two ways to live life. Number one, viewing it as if nothing is a miracle, or number two, viewing it as if everything is a miracle. Sir, how can our listeners today begin to look for and choose the perspective of seeing the move of God in the dull and mundane and maybe even the rhythms of life?
Yeah. Well, guys, you're Garrett and Zach, you guys are, you're sitting still. Correct?
Yeah.
You're sitting still. But the reality is you're not. You're on a planet that's spinning at 1,000 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Oh, but wait, it's also speeding through space at 67,000 miles per hour. Wow. So even on a day that you don't get much done, you did travel 1.6 million miles through space.
Wow.
I don't know anybody who at the end of the day kneels next to their bed and says, God, you did it again. I wasn't sure we would make the full rotation, but you did it again. We already believe God for the big miracles, like keeping planet Earth suspended in space and orbiting around the sun. We just need to believe him for the little miracles. And so I know people who say, I've never experienced a miracle. With all due respect, you have never not. There are 37 sextillion chemical reactions happening in your body right now. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And even the fact that, like, when was the last time you praised God for hemoglobin, which delivers oxygen to the cells? Like, we just don't We don't think about that stuff, but the reality is everything is miraculous. And so, you know, I just think sometimes we box God in into the four walls of a church building, and I'm a pastor, but we box God into, you know, 90 minutes on Sunday or four walls of a church building. Like, I love this moment when God tells Abraham to go outside. You remember that in Genesis 1? He said, go outside, look up, and count the stars. Why would God take Abraham on a two-foot field trip? Simple answer. As long as he was inside the tent, he was staring at an eight-foot ceiling. There was a man-made limit.
Right.
The second he stepped outside, now the sky's the limit. I think God was saying, Abraham, come on. Come outside and take the 8-foot ceiling off of that you put on me. Quit putting a drop ceiling on me. And let's believe God for those bigger things, for those miracles. And, you know, it might be starting to sound a little kind of mystical or ethereal at this point, but that's where I'm grateful for 34 distinct miracles in the Gospels, including the 7 signs in John's Gospel, that we begin to get a handle on this grave robber, the one who does miracles.
Right. You know, we are coming off of, you know, an incredible lineup of interviews. And one we had recently was with Dr. Rick Rigsby.
Yeah.
And we talked about this idea of hope. And we talked about this idea of a shift in perspective. And I really do believe that, as you're saying, like, in order for us to really dive deep and look for the move of God and look for the miraculous in our lives, we just need to shift in perspective.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, sometimes we live for the flashy, we live for the sensational, and we're expecting God to do this incredible thing. But oftentimes it's in those small moments of perspective shift to say, I have oxygen right now and I'm breathing. And I'm spinning around in this giant universe, a speck of dust, essentially, and everything is being held together. And so the same person that is holding those things together, that is giving us hope, is the same person that can, you know, deliver on the miracles that we're asking for.
Yeah.
So it's a perspective shift. So I think my question for you is going to be in two parts, Pastor Mark. I think for you personally, our listeners who read your books, who listen to you on Sunday mornings, like, what are you doing practically every day? Whether it's a perspective shift or, hey, I'm taking time to thank God in gratitude for the miracles. What are you doing practically for those perspective shifts? And then even, you know, having your faith increase to have him, you know, do bigger and better.
Yeah. Well, I have a little formula: change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective. So sometimes you just need to be somewhere else. I mean, Jesus spent a lot of time hiking, camping, boating, climbing mountains. Like, we read right over this stuff. But I mean, the transfiguration happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Right. Like, I think sometimes we need a change of pace or a change of place. So I will put that out there. But at the end of the day, the only ceiling on your intimacy with God and impact on the world is daily spiritual disciplines.
Right.
I think we're only... God took Abraham on a 2-foot field trip. That's kind of what I call it in Genesis 15. All of us are 2 feet from a miracle. It's about the distance from your knees to the ground. And so I think prayer is how we reach escape velocity, if you will, which 25,000 miles per hour, in case you care, that's how you escape the Earth's atmosphere and land a man on the moon. Right. In my estimation, prayer is the way we escape these limitations that we have. And God begins to do things beyond our ability. And I think God's honored by bold prayers honor him. Yes. Then I would also say that scripture is key, because one of two things is going to happen over time. Either your theology is going to conform to your reality, or your reality is going to conform to your theology. And in my experience, if I don't stay locked and loaded in God's word with a daily Bible reading plan, faith leaks.
Yeah.
And I begin to lose faith. And so when I get into God's word, my reality begins to conform to my theology. Yeah. And so I think there's something about scripture that, I like to say that scripture is our script cure. Yeah. That we have so many false narratives. There's so many, and there's so much noise in culture right now. And, and I mean, listen, if you're listening to the loudest voice, we're in trouble.
That's right.
The still small voice of the Holy Spirit needs to be the loudest voice in our life. But I think when we open the Bible, God opens his mouth. And so that's how I feed my faith, because I begin to see Jesus. Okay, so he can change water into wine. Mm-hmm. Well, if he can change that molecular structure in that way, okay. Yeah. Well, and then there was the man who, man, didn't walk for 38 years. Well, maybe time is not a barrier. Maybe it's not too little, too late. And then I begin to read about Jesus saying, you know, peace be still. Mm-hmm. And he stops a storm in its tracks. Oh, wait, he heals a man born blind? Mm-hmm. I mean, that means there were no synapses between the optic nerve and visual cortex in the brain.
All right.
So this is synaptogenesis. Well, if he can do that, oh, but wait, if he can say Lazarus come forth and a guy who is 4 days dead comes back to life, then listen, all bets are off. All things are possible. Now I'm beginning to live in the reality of who God is and what God can do.
It's amazing to me that we're asking for miracles. We're chasing the grave robber, as we've been talking about. Yeah. But we come to this moment where we all believe, the three of us here talking, that when we open up the scriptures, God talks, as you said. And what I love about the resource, the grave robber, and what you talk about there is there are key moments in scripture where before a miracle took place, there was an invitation for obedience. There was a natural element, so to say, that took place, you know, that increased the faith or, you know, tested the faith almost of the people that were walking with God. And I love that, that idea that when God moves, it oftentimes requires us to take a step of obedience and a step of faith. And so I think my next question for you, Pastor Mark, is, you know, how do we take practical steps of obedience? You know, where can we, as our listeners are here, you know, they're believing like, hey, I want God to do this for me. But there might be some listening that are hearing, you know, the voice of the Lord, and he's saying, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to take this opportunity next. Where and how can we find, you know, the increase of faith on a practical level to be obedient with our next steps?
Yeah, couple of thoughts. One, remember the guy that says to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does he not speak for all of us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, all of us, we believe, but there are moments of doubt and we're this mixture. And so can we just level the playing field today and say that there are moments where I have great faith and then there are moments where it's really hard to believe.
Right.
And so that I would start there.
Yeah.
The second thing that comes to mind is, do you remember this moment where Jesus goes back to Nazareth? And of course, it says the prophet has no honor in his hometown. Mm-hmm. But do you remember it says he didn't do many miracles there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason given, and it's because they took offense at him. I don't know that everybody connects the dots this way, but I really believe that offense, bitterness, unforgiveness, somehow, some way, it just ruins it. Like you are not posturing yourself for the miraculous if you're holding on to grudges or bitterness. And so I am more and more convinced, and this honestly comes out of, you know, some of us need more than one counselor. I've got two. You know, I'm so grateful, and may God raise up another generation of anointed, counselors who do what they do. But it was my counselor who took me through a forgiveness exercise about a year ago, and I couldn't believe how much I had repressed and not really confessed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes the miraculous is not us doing a song and dance. It's not a combination of the right 26 letters of the English alphabet. I really think it does have to do with posture. Am I living in obedience? Am I walking in humility? Am I walking in grace and forgiveness? Now we have kind of this combustible environment where God can do anything he wants to do. So I have no doubt he is a miracle working God.
That's right.
We just have to get out of the way. And sometimes that's ego, and sometimes it's unconfessed sin. Sometimes it is unbelief. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to humbly believe God for the next miracle.
So powerful, Pastor Mark. And I love what you said. I appreciate what you said about counseling. I'm a young counselor myself, and as a resident counselor here at Light Counseling, Christian Counseling Private Practice that we run here out of the American Association of Christian Counselors. So to hear that, that's one of my greatest joys, is walking alongside of people and helping them really at the end of the day, just being a conduit through which God can provide the change that he ultimately implements within people's lives. And sir, you know, there was a quote, as you're talking about faith and as we're talking about action, it says that faith at the end of the day, it's not the absence of fear. It's really the presence of courage and being able to take action in the midst of it. And so when we talk about that, man, it's so powerful to think of people that I think in my own life, right? I've been afraid. There have been, you know, seasons of doubt in my life, but waking up every day, like you're saying, one foot in front of another and taking action, that's what faith really looks like. And so one thing, as we kind of are, as I mentioned earlier, entering into this Easter season, we're celebrating a risen Savior. One of our favorite books, both Garrett and I agree, is The Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Fears in Life. Pastor Mark, for the listener out there today who maybe is so unfamiliar with this message, they don't understand that hope is a person, and maybe they're hearing this for the very first time in an interview today, what would you say to them about what it looks like to be able to pray these bold prayers and really transfer their belief in a God who is alive?
Yeah. Well, I would say if the tomb is empty,
that's right,
then nothing's impossible. Lots of people died on Roman crosses. In fact, archaeologists estimate maybe about 1,000 people a year in ancient Judea, which means Jesus crucified between two thieves was par for the course. It was a normal day in the Roman Empire in this little precinct called Judea. But the truth is, only one person predicted their own death and resurrection and then pulled it off.
Come on. That's right.
So do we believe in the historical fact that there is a God who rose from the dead? If we don't believe that, you know, the Apostle Paul said we're wasting our time. We're spinning our wheels. Like, but if you do believe it, now you have to believe God for miracles, because it's who he is and what he does. And so I'm just so grateful that we live with the reality of an empty tomb, and that shapes how we think. It shapes our perspective. That don't put a period where God puts a comma.
That's right.
It's not over until God says it's over. I love this little phrase. It's two words. You'll find it in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. You'll find it in John chapter 11, with the Lazarus story. It's a little phrase. Even now. And maybe guys, I can just kind of seed faith for a moment here. I know we're getting close to our time, but it's never too little and it's never too late.
That's right.
It's just, even now, there's this moment where Martha says, you know, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, which, by the way, is kind of funny. I mean, it's pretty passive aggressive, right? Yeah. Like, it's not your fault, but it is, but it isn't, but it is, but it isn't, but it is. And then she says, though, but even now, I think there is a faith that is kind of a preventative faith. and that's faith, you know, but there's also a faith that there is a God who can reverse the unreversible, that there is a God who can, he gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And he can come in and, hey, listen, people are born blind. They can't see again. No, no, no. Let Jesus enter the equation and they can. A guy that's dead for 4 days, they're all saying like, it's going to stink. Don't open the tomb.
Right.
Jesus is like, Lazarus, come forth. And he removes those grave clothes. What a moment. What a picture of what Jesus has done for each one of us. And so I think we owe it to him, to believe that what he did before he can do again. In fact, he said, greater things than this.
Yeah.
Will you do? And so it would be heresy if it wasn't Jesus who said it. So can we just believe God for some of those greater things? I'm believing God for a supernatural demonstration of his love and power in our generation, in our nation, because I think we need it right about here, right about now.
Amen. You know, Pastor Mark, what I love about you and the resources that you put out and, you know, National Community Churches is doing is you guys really have rooted yourselves in this person of the grave robber and knowing that, you know, he is still doing miracles. And in that, I do believe that a lot of miracles come out of people's dreams and the dreams that God has birthed in and out of people, out of his church. And one of the really cool resources that you guys have is the Dream Collective. And I know that kind of goes rogue from our conversation, but I want to talk about sort of the miracle of dreams and what you guys are doing with the Dream Collective and how you're shaping the church and culture there.
Yeah. Well, I love that little phrase, dream within a dream, which, you know, any Christopher Nolan Inception people will recognize that. But the truth is, it's from an Edgar Allan Poe poem, 1849. It's all that we see or seem, but a dream within a dream. I would argue that we drink from wells we didn't dig. We eat from fields we didn't plant. We live in houses we didn't build. I'm a guy that believes that many of the blessings in my life, I did nothing to deserve. They're an answer to someone's prayer that I might not even know about. And so I think God does speak in dreams. And so, because you brought it up, you know, we are a multi-site church here in DC, but we had a shift about 2 years ago. It's not about the name over the church door. It's about the name above all names.
Amen.
And we want to do more things that don't have our name on it. We don't need control. We don't need credit, but we want to plant churches. We want to start business as mission. We want to see nonprofits take on kingdom causes. And we just think there are a lot of people in the kingdom with entrepreneurial instincts who are anointed by God, and they don't have to stand behind a pulpit and preach like I do. Like, they just need to use the gifts. And so that God's given them. And so I won't preach another sermon, but I love this moment in Athens when Paul doesn't boycott the Areopagus. No, he goes in and he competes for the truth. And so what I believe is that God wants to raise up a generation to write better books, produce better films, draft better legislation, start better businesses, make better music, whatever it is. How? With the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And so may God raise up another generation of dreamers. And so the Dream Collective is about us just getting in people's corner. How can we help? How can we be in your corner and help you take the next step in your dream journey?
It's so encouraging. And I just want to thank you personally for living out the dream that God gave you. And You know, I think back to senior year in high school, Garrett, reading through The Circle Maker and just receiving that wisdom and that increase of faith to lead me to school and to have an insurmountable amount of money that I needed to pay. And I remember God saying, write the number down, $4,297.38, and circle it every day. And that's what I needed to do to pay off the semester. Hmm. And I, every day, and it's because of wisdom from you and the dream that you lived out that, that God really did birth a miracle in and through my life. And so I want to thank you for that. And Pastor Mark, how we love to close out the podcast is we love to hand the mic over. And in light of the Easter season, in light of the desire for our Creator to do the miraculous in our lives, through our lives, how would you encourage our listeners today?
Yeah. Well, by the way, this year we will begin to host the Easter sunrise at the Lincoln Memorial on the National Mall.
Cool.
And so thousands upon thousands of people will gather on Easter Sunday. I can't wait for that moment to just celebrate His name above our city, above all things. And so I would just say, let's seek first, not second, third, or tenth. Let's seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. May we be a people that operate with a humble boldness or a bold humility. Take your pick.
That's right.
But let's operate in the grace of God. But may we also operate with a holy confidence that, that finds its confidence in the character of God, in the promises of God, that doesn't shrink back, but that operates in the authority that is ours in Christ. And it just stretches its faith. And so I think that's kind of what's in my heart as we approach the Easter season and all that God wants to do in us and through us. Just pray a renewed holy confidence in that empty tomb and in God's ability to do what He wants to do in each and every one of our lives.
Seek first the kingdom of God. The grave is empty. He is alive. Pastor Mark, thank you so much for your willingness to join us today on the show and just the impact and influence you have on countless lives, my friend.
Hey, absolute joy. Love and appreciate both of you and look forward to the next time.
Thank you, sir.
Man, what an incredible interview, Zach. I love Pastor Mark Batterson.
Oh, I love him so much.
So much wisdom, so much encouragement. Beautiful that the creator of the universe, the robber of the grave, wants to do miracles in and through us. Listen, we're excited and we love having Mark with us. He's going to be with us at one of the best conferences there. It's the AACC No Hope. That's K-N-O-W, No Hope World Conference 2023, September 13 through 16, Nashville, Tennessee. Listen, if you want to hear more of Mark, more some incredible speakers. If you're a counselor, a lay counselor, a pastor, someone in ministry or mental health space, this is a conference for you. And we're excited because Pastor Mark's going to be with us. And like I said, if you want to hear more from him, come. You want more information, it's worldconference.net. Zach, I know that you have some thoughts on the interview. How do you think it went?
Yes, well, I just want to plug the World Conference again real quick. That's in Nashville, Tennessee at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. It is going to be an incredible event. It's going to be a packed house. Not only Mark Batterson, but so many incredible guests. Tim Tebow, Tim Timberlake, Catherine Wolf. I mean, so many names that come to mind. Just going to be a really exciting event. But Garrett, what I loved about today's interview with Pastor Mark is just this idea that hope really is a person, right? That hope did rob the grave. That hope is still alive. And I know there may be a lot of people out there today who may not, maybe they're feeling hopeless or helpless. They may feel discouraged or disappointed. But our prayer is that in and through today's interview, that Pastor Mark could have just sparked something within you that would just have motivated you to keep taking action, to keep having faith, to keep standing back up. In John chapter 5, to keep picking up your mat. I love the two words that Pastor Mark brought about, even now. No matter what you're going through, even now, God can still do something in and through it if you let Him, if you're willing, if you're obedient to the call that He's placed on your life. And there might be somebody out there today who's going through a difficult time. And they're like, man, I'm in a waiting season. It does feel like the mundane. I don't see the miraculous happening right now. What is my purpose? What is God's will for my life? And it's a verse that we share often on the podcast. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you through Christ Jesus. Do those three things. If those are the most simple three things that you can do today, that's our prayer. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. You guys, the grave truly has been robbed, and hope still lives. And his name is Jesus. As always, you guys, we love you so much. We love being a part of your life. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time on the Built Different Podcast.